would like to just share some, I guess, ideas, some scripture, some things that I've noticed that happened to Peter the more he spent time with Jesus. And so in Peter being the example, maybe it might show you what would happen to you if you spent more time with Jesus and how important it truly is. Jesus comes into the picture in Peter's life when Peter is doing his ordinary job. He's a fisherman. He goes out, so his job is, goes out, catches the fish late at night, early in the morning, whatever time they do, in the boats with the nets, collects it all, comes back, probably collects all the fish and takes them to market, keeps some for his own family, but takes them to the market and probably sells them. And so he can earn money for his family, for his, because often extended family, because it wasn't just necessarily his own family he was buying for. It was always, remember, his mother lived with them, lived with he and his wife. Did he have children? We don't know. It's never been shared about. But even so, Peter was doing an ordinary job. It was a fisherman. Was a very ordinary job in those days. Lots of fishermen, not like nowadays where there's only select so many people who are the fishermen. And they have, you know, the big boats and the big nets, and they go out and catch the fish for us to eat. And we see it in Matthew's gospel, and let me just read it to you, but then I'm going to read an area that is being described in Luke's gospel about how Peter was called. So this is in Matthew chapter 4, starting at verse 18. As he, Jesus, walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, and this is Simon Peter. Remember, his name was changed from Simon to Peter. And Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. I've always found that just amazing. Jesus walks by, says to them, "You're going to now fish for people. Come follow me." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. But in a way, that's not the whole picture of the story. That's why it's great to read the four Gospels if there's the stories in the four Gospels, to get a bigger picture of what actually happened, because it's different people's viewpoint, perspective, or what was written down, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Or it was also, though, their own perspective of what they felt was important. So for Matthew, what he felt was important, Jesus just said, "Follow me, come," and they left their nets and followed him. But in Luke's Gospel, starting at chapter 5 at the beginning, let us read the story of the same picture. It's the same story of calling of Peter. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon Peter, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. for he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." When they brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. So it wasn't a simple, come follow me, you're now going to catch people. And Peter followed him. There's actually quite a bit of a story behind that follow me. So Peter's doing his job. He's gone to work late at night to catch the fish, because he knows in this Sea of Galilee how to catch the fish. He's a professional fisherman, not like us who go out and just try and catch a fish off the shore, off the jetty or at the beach, maybe once a year. No, his job was to catch fish. So he knew his craft. He knew the sea of where he would go and catch the fish. He knew the tides. He knew what nets to use. He knew it all, because he was a professional fisherman. If he didn't know it, then he wouldn't be surviving in catching the fish for him and his family and taking it to the marketplace. So you can, looking at this, know he knows his craft. He knows his job. He's very well in his profession, very good at it. But what happens is he's been out all night when normally they would catch fish, and he's caught nothing. Now, God's done this on purpose. So what happens is Jesus comes along, and wherever Jesus goes, there's crowds. And so he never wastes the opportunity to love them and teach them. And the way the bay was set up, that if you were in a certain vantage point, it's like, have you ever been, and I've often seen it at war memorials, where they have the whispering corner, where if you go sit in one spot and it's a circular wall, and someone sits in the other spot, you can actually hear what they're saying just from a whisper. Because the actual way it's been made is that the sound travels. Well, so too in this Sea of Galilee. If you're in a certain position, you could actually speak loudly enough, but also enough that's not straining your voice, and people could hear what you were saying. And there was a big crowd there, and Jesus decided to get on the boat, take it out of shore a bit, so he actually had this ability to speak to the crowd and everyone could hear what he was saying. And then was it when he'd finished speaking, or halfway through the speaking, or at the beginning of speaking? No, it says when he had finished speaking. So he'd finished speaking. So Simon and all the fishermen, because they were cleaning their nets. After you bring the nets in, you've got to clean them and pack them up a certain way to go back into the boats ready for the next time you go out to catch fish. So they've been listening to this Jesus, to this prophet, to this teacher, this rabbi. They all recognize that he's a rabbi, he's the teacher. But remember, the Jewish people have been waiting for a Messiah. It's been in the prophetic books of their Torah, of their Bible, of the Old Testament. This Messiah was coming. And they're unprepared to see that Jesus was, but they're still, it's like it got ears alert, eyes alert, heart alert to when's the Messiah coming. And they're cleaning their nets, and Peter is told by Jesus, okay, go out into the deep water, throw out your nets and see what you catch. Jesus, knowing that they didn't catch anything the night before. Now, you've got to understand too, Peter's a professional fisherman. In that area of the Sea of Galilee, you went at night to catch the fish, because this is the type of fish that were living in there. You didn't throw the nets deep in the water. You put them in the shallow, or you went out, but you didn't throw them deep. You put them out in a pattern on the top, and then you entice the fish to come because they would come up to the top for food, and that's how you would catch them all. And they did it at night. So Jesus is asking them during the day to take their nets and throw them into the deep water. Now, Peter could have queried it and gone, hang on a minute, Jesus, you're not a professional fisherman, so you're telling me this ridiculous way of fishing and I'm not going to catch anything. All he said was, though, Master, we've worked all night long. I've already been there. I've already done trying to do the fishing. There is no fish here today. And I've caught nothing. But there was something about Jesus that made Peter say, yet if you say so, I'll go do it. So as there was this little bit of hope, belief, could this possibly be the Messiah? Remember, he's heard him in his teaching. We don't know what he was teaching about. But something in that inspired Peter to trust in this man, because he didn't know yet that he was truly the Messiah, to go and throw the nets out. And what happens? They catch so much, he has to call for help from his cousins to bring their boat over, or the boat is going to capsize, the nets are going to rip apart because the catch is so huge, so big. And then Jesus, turning to Peter, looking at him, can you imagine those piercing eyes of Jesus looking into his heart and saying, you no longer are going to catch fish. You're now going to catch men. Come, follow me. And Simon Peter, when he saw the catch and he saw what was happening to the boats, that they were full so much they were going to sink, he kneeled down before the Lord and he said, what did he say? Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. He recognized who he was in the sight of God, in the sight of Jesus. Basically said, you know, I really can't do this. Jesus said, come, follow me. Come, follow me. Wow. Something in Jesus, in this encounter, enticed Peter to give up his career, to give up the life that he knew, and to follow this man. Then we go further on in the New Testament, in the Gospels, and there's a time when, you know, the gossip of who Jesus is, he's been around for a while now, he's been teaching and sharing and healing and loving, and Jesus says, well, what's the gossip about me? And then he turns to Peter and he says, but who do you say that I am? Now, Peter now has journeyed with Jesus, has been with him, and he now truly believes. He said, you are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. You're my everything. But this journey of belief has grown. Then when Jesus has gone back to the Father and the disciples are sent the Holy Spirit, their courage and their boldness, the gift from the Holy Spirit given to them, allows them to then stand up boldly and share who they believe in, who this Jesus is. He spent time with him for the 3 years of ministry. But now the Holy Spirit is reminding the disciples, reminding them of everything that was said. That's why the Gospels could be written, inspired by the Holy Spirit reminding us. You know, if you tried to remember something that happened years ago, you wouldn't remember it all. You remember parts of it. That's why reading one part of the gospel, which goes to the next part in the same type of story written by someone else, because we remember different parts. But the Holy Spirit also inspires us out of our own personalities of what to write. But the focus is, because Peter spent time with Jesus, this hope, this belief in God grew. We need to do the same. If we truly want to be followers of Jesus, if we truly want to know him, if we really just, you know, it piques our interest, who is this Jesus? Go read about him. Go read what others have written about him, not just in the Gospels, but other people who have had a relationship with Jesus. Go learn and then go sit with Jesus. Tell him, I'm not sure. I hope that you're real. So many other people believe that you're real. Help me in my unbelief. Help me in my seeking you out. So the important thing is spending time in. If you want to know anyone in any relationship, you have to spend time with them. Go spend time with Jesus. You can say, but I'm so busy, I don't have time. If you're driving in a car and you have to stop at the stop, you know, the lights, there's time there, just chat to him. You know, I'm waiting in a queue, there's time there. Chat to him in your mind, in your heart. Waiting for my children. At work sometimes, and there's, you know, I don't know, a time when there's nothing happening. There's time, you can make time. Ask Jesus to reveal himself to you through people, through scripture, through words that you read, signposts that you notice. Go spend time with him, and your belief, your trust in him will grow, just like Peter's did, just like Peter's. So, where does that leave you? It leaves you with a hope that God will reach you, that God loves you, and that God wants to have a relationship with you. Don't tell him that. Ask him to make the time, that all of a sudden you've got time in your busy, you know, life, that you're seeking him out and that you desire to know and understand and believe in him more, because he is the most important thing, substance, person, spirit in our lives today and always. Have a great week, and I'll see you again next week.